The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, welcome to Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line through till one. Remember, Easter week, so just four Man in Lines this week, and one of them on Thursday is the constituency Man in Line with Anne Corlett and Chris Thomas from Douglas Central on Man in Line on Thursday. So anything general you want to bring up between now and then, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, by all means, get in touch. Call 66 13 68. Love to hear from you. A message in from Dennis, who just said, very surprised that the E. Volden was cancelled in Peel. It was always a great event. Can't think why Peel is shooting itself in the foot by the E. Volden not happening. If you got any thoughts on that, by all means, do get in touch. All this talk, some messages from last week, all this, which we didn't get to on Friday, all this talk of the TT in tourism, but no mention of the government doubling the charges for cruise ships coming to the Isle of Man. Is that so? They double the charges. It is a big supply of tourists for us, and the government said there was no impact on school buses because, of course, they come off these luxury cruise liners and jump onto our double-decker buses, which I'm sure are very nice, but they're nowhere near luxury, are they? Thanks for that text to 425. An application including 2024 needs to be made for a freedom of information as to the cost for the temporary scoreboard. We can then calculate what it would have cost to retain and maintain the original scoreboard until a replacement was ready for erecting, says Ali. By all means, Ali, crack on. We'd love to hear from you. The Freedom of Information portal is there for members of the public, and that includes you, to get in touch with it. With modern scoreboards and all the bikes carrying a transponder, updates will be instantaneous. It was very helpful for pit crews and spectators. There was lots of talk last week about what's going to happen with the scoreboard. It is going to be, well, they say £1 million. We know what that means, don't we? And not really going to happen in the next few years. International motorcycle companies are very well funded, but I wouldn't imagine they've got an odd £200,000-£300,000 knocking around that they can just give us come what may. Getting into budgets like that will take a long time. Maybe they've been doing it already. I don't know. Maybe Motorsport in Department for Enterprise have already been going to the big companies just to say if there's a supply of money that we can get our hands on to do that. Thanks also. The TT is the Isle of Man, says 110. And also, never mind the scoreboard, sort out the Port St Mary potholes, says 924. What did they say? Is that £500,000 to get the Port St Mary road sorted out? The one that's kind of sinking away, the one that Michelle Haywood planted some daffodils in last week. Is that what to do with it? The TT scoreboard, spectators actually, says this correspondent, don't need a scoreboard. It's Jane who said that spectators don't need a scoreboard. What many people come to the TT for is history. So bring back the scouts for the photo opportunities. It's with that. Just the scouts. No scoreboard. We'll just have the scouts kind of posing there. I'm sure somebody would have something to say about that. People come to the Island Man all the year round to take photos, says Tam in Williston. So the scoreboard has to be there. Keep the scoreboard. Well, there isn't there at the moment, of course, but many years ago, they used to take the scoreboard down and put it away for the winter, says Texter 692. The scoreboard was taken down, stored and maintained and reinstalled. Then it was left up because the DOI didn't want to store it, to maintain it during the winter. Isn't that so? Says Andy. And that's the reason it decrepitated and it went to pieces, as it were. I'll never look upon Douglas as a city. Oh, 060, where's your sense of pride? Douglas is a town. I think this is all a waste of money. Our government's determined to destroy our built heritage. They don't care about heritage at all. They say they want more visitors. And so to look at what? Is it modern buildings? 068 is the point. Well, it's a bit late now. You can't complain about Douglas being the city because it is one. It was applied for, I think, in the David Christian era, before this particular administration got in the old town hall, now the city hall. It was applied for before, and we've got it, and it's been conferred, and Camilla's been here. So that's it. We are a city come what may. Howard's on. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just listen to what you were saying there about the cruise ships, etc., coming in. I've often thought about it with the government, the DOI, as they call themselves, putting the double-decker buses on for the cruise ship passengers.
Yeah.
Are those buses adapted? Are they built with a PA system on board whereby that somebody can give a commentary to the people, or they're just riding around in silence and looking at hedge rows and different things and not knowing what they're going past or any history on it?
Well, I don't know what the... I mean, were those buses to take them to the halfway horse tram at the War Memorial?
Yeah.
And the other point about coaches, modern coaches have seat belts. And the double-decker buses don't have seatbelts. So you would imagine that the DOI is taking on quite a liability for public liability for those cruise passengers if they're sitting on buses that don't have seatbelts.
Exactly. But again, the same coaches, buses were carrying children. So that must... You get school buses that have seatbelts on. They're fitted as standard nowadays. I don't know whether they would be on these. But many years ago in the 1970s, one of my many jobs that I used to have was driving coaches. And we were professional beggars because that's how we made our living, chatting to the people. And I thought to myself, if they get Joe Bloggs, Fred and Charlie, whatever it is, you're going on the cruise ship today, and these fellas are just driving buses around the island. No disrespect to them. But are they au fait with the island? And can they give a commentary? Or are they using the blue, whatever they call them, blue badge?
Yeah.
Or are the buses not fitted with a PA system where they can give a commentary and, give something of interest to the people that come off these ships? Or they're just going to sit there looking at each other.
And the point has to be made: they're not luxurious. You know, they're functional double-decker buses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're bright and they're clean and they're airy, and that's great. But if somebody's paying thousands of pounds to go on holiday, shouldn't they expect a bit more from the Isle of Man than a normal double-decker bus?
Well, the DOI, in their wisdom, bus vanning, decimated the tourist coach industry, and they did their best for the taxis. And now the government should not be running a tourist bus industry. Okay, it's during the summer, but it's what used to bring the livelihood to quite a lot of people. But nowadays, a lot of these drivers that's on these buses are only part-time. Are they being employed to take the tourists around?
That's a really good point, that Douglas used to have a thriving coach industry. You know, there were, I think, a couple of dozen operators way back in the 50s.
Oh, yes. Well, gradually they were absorbed into Tours Isle of Man, and that's who I was working for at the time. And at that particular time, there were 53 coaches in the fleet.
Yeah.
And that was going 7 days a week. Okay, we had a tourist industry. But those coaches were going 7 days a week in the summer. And that was part of your job, in a sense, to talk to the people as you were travelling and picking out various aspects. And you had a working knowledge of the island, but no harm to these fellas that are driving the buses. Are they of a similar ilk? Do they have a working knowledge, or are they people that come onto the island and don't know anything about the place but can drive a bus?
Interesting. And it has to be said, you know, the government has in part elbowed out private enterprise by doing this.
Oh, they have. By I know it was the tourist industry was falling away in the late 70s and going into the 80s. It was disappearing. And I can remember the words of the tourist industry. Well, they weren't ministers then, but they said we just let it wither on the vine because we have new things, which was the banking and, of course, the e-gaming, etc. So that's where the tourist industry has been allowed to die and disappear. And now they have the Department of Enterprise, who I don't know what they're doing, but they seem to be running backwards all the time. But it'd just be interesting to know, do the buses have a PA system? Do they have a working knowledge of the drivers, or do they carry escorts on them that can give a working... There are people trained on the island for it, but that'll be a further expense because they need to be paid.
OK, all right, thanks, Howard.
OK, take care.
All right, look at that time, it's 18 minutes past 12. Carol said, look, Andy, let's not forget the money was allocated for the completion of the horse tram tracks. This is Carol on 750. Completion of the horse tram tracks, but it was used on the overspend of Douglas Promenade without Timwald approval, as has been uncovered and revealed by the Public Accounts Committee, says Carol. So if parts of government are doing things at will, then what can we do? Do you remember we had a call about this a wee while ago when Charles Gard was on making those videos about the loss of our heritage items and buildings on the Isle of Man. And Charles, very unusually for Charles, was a bit despondent about the state of government. And there was a follow-up call on it, which kind of prompts what Carol's just said.
Hello, I'm just wondering whether nobody took any notice of Charles Gard when he was on the Man in Line and reported to us that ministers, an incoming minister, could overturn any decision made by Tynwald in their debates and passed by Tynwald with a majority. He was talking particularly about the horse trams, but it was a general comment, as I understood it. And all these things, there's been a fellow phoning up today just asking about why we're wasting our time having these debates. And that is exactly the situation. If we have a government or a system whereby members can, any incoming minister can just overturn a Tynwald decision which has been voted by a majority as a policy, then of course the whole thing is complete and utter madness. And as long as they can get away with this, what's the point of it all? And as he said, what's the point in people even bothering to phone up with their views or give their views to their politicians or any consultation which the government cares to put out? I rest my case. Have a word with Charles. Get him on again. Thank you. Goodbye.
Well, certainly try. I just wonder what your thoughts are. Charles did mention that, about the fact that changes can be made just like that. That the will of Tynwald can be ignored, as happened with the halfway horse tram. Now, still halfway, and maybe there are parts, somebody somewhere thinks that if we keep it at halfway, then eventually the cost will go up, and eventually that'll be too much, and public opinion will turn against it, and we won't have the horse trams going to the sea terminal. More and more, year by year, as you get used to things not being there, you come to not expect them to be there. Think of the bus station. Think of the Victoria Road prison site. Think of South Quay in Douglas. Big holes there, like rotten teeth. Keep looking back at us. So any thoughts on this? We shouldn't be despondent, though, because, of course, there are things that can be done. Phil said, haven't tourists stopped doing the trips across so they can take cruise passengers? And Port St Mary High Street, says Brian, is in such a bad condition, and having buses and heavy goods vehicles using it isn't helping. Why don't they just close the high street and have it open for parking for residents only? All vehicles could turn around at the triangle at Queen's Road and go back up Queen's Road and back along Park Road. This could be done till money's available to reconstruct the high street, says Brian. Well, that's an idea, but I just come back to what I've just said. If people get used to something not being there, you may find out that it never, ever gets done. So, but it's a good point. Well made. Thanks for that, Brian. Good to hear from you today. And thanks also, sir. Nobody realised that the TT is finished, says 807, texter 807, Angry Fred. Fred. It's not worth getting angry for. They're just making it impossible. They're putting up the prices every year, and as we all know, we're in a cost of living crisis. People won't pay stupid prices to get to the Isle of Man, says Fred. Wasn't the money from the horse tramway spent on the frontage of the Sefton Hotel? Fran, you seem to know more than everybody else. If you've got an official word on that, Fran, or is that just skeet? You're not making that up, are you, Fran 762? I met a cruise tourist at Douglas Head and told her about the Tower of Refuge and William Hillary. She said, thank you. Their guide had told them, so there are guides around. The coaches used to do some really good mystery tours at night time too, 381. Andy, do you remember the battle of the coach companies in the front of the Crescent? Oh, my word, those sandwich boards, they were everywhere, weren't they? Before we spend millions on a new scoreboard, how many years has the TT got left to run with our island's green agenda, says Terry Kelly. You never get a straight answer, Terry. Either way, I've asked people on the green side, on the sustainable side, if they're against the TT, and to be quite honest, they waffle. They'll never say one way or the other. So if you know anybody, next time we have somebody on from either side, is the TT, is motorsport in general finished if there's going to be a worldwide green agenda, or what will it be? Electric vehicles, electric bikes? Would it be the same T with silent bikes? It was a bit eerie. Do you remember a few years ago with the TT0 with those silent bikes? Ian's on now. Hi, Ian.
Good afternoon. Everything seems to be negative regarding the tram, the halfway tram, etc. I don't know whether you watched it, but Portillo's railway journeys, he went to Singapore. I'd advise everybody to have a look at that and just see how progressive Singapore is.
When was that on?
It was on this week, Thursday, Friday, something like that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Is it a current one or one of those eternal repeats?
I don't honestly know.
Right,
but
okay.
We've been to Singapore 35 years ago, where we went on a junk cruise in the evening around the harbour, and the harbour worked 24 hours a day. All that is gone. That is reclaimed, and it's now land with high-rise apartments on it and buildings for the immense amount of people who live there.
So what happened Michael Portillo's railway journey?
He was just taken around Singapore, and just everywhere you look, they were progressive about everything. You know, here, everybody wants to stop progress. They want to stop people who, entrepreneurs who do work, they want to, you know, they're fighting amongst themselves half the time.
It's fair to say the Republic of Singapore is very well known for its ambition, isn't it?
Unbelievable. You know, they're just it's just amazing what they're doing. I'm not saying that the Isle of Man should guide that. I'm just saying that it's they have a positive view about everything.
Yeah.
And here, all we seem to do is have one politician fighting against another, i.e. the roundhouse. So it's progress. We have a nice facility. So now somebody is somewhere wants to stop it, so we don't allow a road to it. That's a classic example.
Mm. So, what was it, 30 years ago you were in Singapore?
35.
Any plans to go back?
Probably not now, but, I mean, it's I'm too old to be bothered doing the travelling, but it was wonderful. You go down in the tube, and it's all air-conditioned. The stations are air-conditioned, everything. It's just, well, watch the programme if you can find it.
You've sold it to us. OK, Ian, thanks for calling.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, good to hear from you. Singapore, of course, is tiny, isn't it? It's less than 300 square miles, I think. But it ranks, I think I was reading something last week, it's very popular with anybody who lives there. Key kind of social indicators. It's very big on personal safety. It's often quoted. They're the people that prosecute anybody for dropping gum onto the street. And it sounds simple, doesn't it? It sounds silly almost, but it's just one of those things. Education, healthcare, quality of life, infrastructure, housing. I think it's something like 9 out of 10 people in Singapore own their own home as well. They've got long life experiences, big internet speeds as well, lowest infant mortality rates. And they're very, very hot on corruption. Extremely hot on corruption in Singapore. I wonder if we could learn anything from Singapore. What do you think, Bonzo?
Well, certainly outlawing chewing gum, which I think they have. Certainly, I think there are very high sentences for people who put chewing gum on the public transport system.
Anyway, that wasn't why you called.
That wasn't why I called, no. You were asking about people from what is loosely termed the Green Movement.
Yeah.
I think it's a bit of a misnomer, to be honest.
It's a broad brush term.
It's a broad brush term, which can be used accurately or inaccurately, depending on what time of day it is. But someone who advocates climate action, and someone who likes motorsport, I can tell you that motorsport is in no way in the crosshairs of climate activists. Well, it might be in the crosshairs of some very extreme climate activists, but as far as people who understand the broader picture are concerned, firstly, motorsport and indeed heritage activities such as steam trains or flying historic aircraft, the emissions from that are infinitesimally small compared to the real problem of industrial emissions and car emissions and such, marine emissions. That's that's indisputable. And so really, it doesn't matter. But also, of course, we have the production now of sustainable fuels. I think Formula One are going to sustainable fuels by 2030 or something. And although sustainable fuels are more expensive at the moment, I think it's about 5 or 6 times the cost of conventional petrol. That cost is coming down as more sustainable fuel is made. So the future for internal combustion engine sport is bright, as the petrol head Jay Leno said about electric vehicles, that electric vehicles would liberate the car, would liberate the petrol car in the same way as the petrol car liberated the horse. Right? It could then be just used for sport and fun rather than as a beast of burden and transport.
How long do you think will be the change period, Bonzo? When do you think things like this will start to gain traction?
Well, as I was saying, some of it's cost, some of it's regulation, and I think by the by 2030 or so, we'll be seeing a lot more of what was petrol-driven motorsport or activities, petrol-driven historic flying, being done with sustainable fuels. So, it's not going to be it's not going to be faded away. It's not as if there is this great this great kind of swelling of support for an idea that everything that once upon a time used to be done by internal combustion engines, that's all wrong, that we must get rid of it and sweep it away, and you can only have electric Formula One cars, and you can only have electric bikes, and you can only have... Indeed, the TT Zero was never exclusively an electric bike thing. It was trying to encourage all sorts of alternative fuels, like hydrogen or indeed sustainable fuel. It just wasn't run on petrol.
Interesting. Okay, we appreciate that, Bonzo. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
A note in from Sonny in Port Erin, who says, I love Singapore, mainly because they drive on the left. Is that true? I didn't know that. Thank you, Sonny. Said it time and time again. What we need to do is to get a vintage bus to take the cruise passengers. There is a vintage double-decker, isn't there? Take vintage cruise passengers from the vintage... Anyway, you know what I'm saying, to the halfway horse tram stop. It could be part of the vintage package that the passengers want. They'll be put off having to walk all the way to the horse tram stop, says Paul. Is that the way to do it? Have we got... I think we've got one. Anyway, doesn't infrastructure, I think, own at least one, but there are a few in private hands as well. A lot of people think the TT scoreboard is for the benefit of spectators, but it's not. The scoreboard is there to give the teams up-to-date information on their riders, and for preparation for pit stops. Teams aren't allowed mobile phones in the pit lane because of the fire risk, so having an information board allows teams to be informed, says Pat. Michelle Haywood has achieved a lot regarding potholes, says Texter 376, by putting daffodils in the potholes. How are the daffodils doing, I wonder? They aren't doubling the charge for cruise ships. They're doubling the maximum fee, which may be payable depending on the size of the ship. Completely different things, as most of them don't pay the maximum anywhere.
The Loganair Easter sale is now on. Fly from the Isle of Man to Manchester, London Heathrow and London City Airport. Save up to 15% off over 1 million seats across the Loganair network. Book by 2nd April, travel from 26th April. Subject to availability, exclusions apply. Visit loganair.co.uk. Your journey, our joy.
Spectrum Windows. If your house needs a new look and your windows let in rain, keep those cold breezes out and make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows.
Discover a fabulous range of watches, gifts and jewellery at Ramsey Art Gallery, with top brand watches from Bulova, Citizen Eco Drive and Storm to Acuras, Seconda and Timex. Plus, all watch purchases come with free lifetime watch bracelet adjustment service. There's stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions and of course a fabulous gallery of limited edition prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery, Jewellers and Engravers, opposite Ramsey RNLI shop.
You don't have to grow up to star in Matilda. Or travel through time to appear on stage in Back to the Future. You can do it this Easter at the Stage Ed Easter School. 6 amazing days of singing, dancing and acting with all your favourite musicals, including Six, Hamilton, The Greatest Show and Bodyguard.
What can I say except...
Make new friends, grow your confidence and have loads of fun with a showcase performance for parents too. Classes for 6 to 10 and 11 to 21 year olds, no experience necessary. Click stage-edholidayschools.com for details and booking. Supported by your nation's station, Manx Radio.
We're celebrating 60 years of Radio Caroline this weekend, live from the Ross Revenge with Caroline North.
This is Radio Caroline on 199, your all-day music station.
Join us with the greatest music from the last 60 years, a chance for you to win some money to spend in the Caroline web shop, and a whole lot of fun. It's live from the Ross Revenge with our friends from Manx Radio this weekend at Radio Caroline North.
Radio Caroline North, back on 648 and 1368 AM.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Andrew's on with us now. Hi, Andrew.
Hi, good day, Andy and listeners. I was so impressed
with the politicians speaking on Phil Gorn's programme on Sunday lunchtime. There was Joni Farragher, who I don't actually agree with from her stance on some issues, such as the bishop, etc. But besides that, there was Joni Farragher with comments and Claire Christian with comments. Both seem to be pretty much aligned, and it's with regards to the tax strategy that Comyn are putting forward, driven by mandarins in the Treasury, and which is all taking no account of the KPMG report that was done, and that we've spent £1 million on for when there's no money. We're in dire financial straits, and yet we can pay KPMG £1 million for a report that is then not acted upon. So I'm just wondering who else might agree with me that a chief minister or treasury minister needs to actually come on. And so I'm calling them out as, please, can you explain why we've spent £1 million on a report and you've taken no notice of it? You're not implementing what KPMG suggested you do. What was the point? Alf or Dr. Allenson, please come on and explain to the public how you've managed to waste £1 million when there's much more of priority where that money could go to.
What do you think? I mean, talking about that report, I mean, what do you think should be done as far as the tax strategy goes, Andrew? Do you think?
Well, it was all highlighted by respectively Joni Farragher and Claire Christian. I mean, listeners can do listen again and listen to it. I don't think I need to reword what they've already said. I mean, it's all there in the report, the KPMG report that cost us £1 million. And, you know, we're in dire financial straits, and yet somewhere they found £1 million for that.
Well, it was. I think that was a couple of years ago that it was commissioned. So
we're in dire financial straits now. If they'd have actually dealt with it when the report came out and instituted what they've the professional people have said, then perhaps it wouldn't be, well, likely we wouldn't be in dire financial straits. There'd be a strategy to get us out of it. Hmm. And there's not a strategy to get us out of it. They're doing nothing.
Well, Mr. Cannon constantly goes on about the Ireland plan.
No, we're talking about the tax strategy, please, Andy.
Yeah, but I mean, this is tied in that what we want is economic growth. We want everybody. We want employment. We want, you know.
But they're not doing. The point is, Andy, they're not doing what they've been told to do, that we've paid £1 million for.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I understand that, but I mean, the government is.
They need to come on. One of them needs to come on with respect. And actually tell us why they've ignored it. Yeah. Why have we paid £1 million for something that they've then just ignored? Who is it that's telling them that? It must be civil servants in the Treasury that are just feeding them with things that don't actually align with what they've been told to do.
Yeah, as you say, it could be that they didn't like the look of the KPMG report, even though they paid hard cash for it.
Exactly. So, please, Chief Minister, Treasury Minister, one of you, can you come on, please, and explain? And that's the end of the call today, I think, please,
Thanks
Andy.
For calling today. No problem. But if you want to go back to our Listen Again feature, go to manxradio.com and you can hear Phil Gorn and Perspective with Joni Farragher and Claire Christian. Singapore may be progressive, says Mark on 179, but who says that's a good thing? We like history, we like historic buildings, we like heritage. Why should we remove all that for high-rise apartments? Well, the issue being that a lot of our heritage, and I'm not saying it's a good thing or a bad thing, but just to illustrate it, A lot of our heritage is Victorian. And when that was built, that was brand new. The Victorians reclaimed land on Douglas Promenade. They built like billio up and down the prom. They built lots and lots of what we now call heritage. But at the time, it was cutting edge. It was brand new. Buildings, building techniques, all sorts of things. It was absolutely brand new. So where does heritage stop? If you're pickling in aspic what was cutting edge 150 years ago, is there not an irony in that? The Victorians were cutting edge and we're now preserving what they did so that we're not cutting edge for the future. It's just a thought. I'm not saying we should. Oh, and Mark said, why should we remove all that for high-rise apartments? Well, there's only one high-rise block, really, isn't in the Isle of Man, isn't there? And that's in St. Paul's Square in Ramsey. That's the only high-rise block. In Jersey, they have a lot more high-rise blocks because it's a much smaller area. Would that be the way to get through? Again, we come back to housing, the problem with getting young people on the housing ladder. Is that the answer, to build some high-rise blocks, a couple of them, somewhere, in some place to do that? Why do people keep wittering on about the horse tram, says 557, the anti-witterer? They don't, won't, and never have made a profit. They're a drain on resources. We have more than enough Victorian memorabilia on the Isle of Man as it is. They should never have been included in the refurbishment of the promenade from the outset, says 557. I think we know how 557 feels. Phil says, as has been mentioned by your other listeners regarding the old TT scoreboard and its annual erection and dismantling before the decision to leave it in situ full time. My recollections go back some years prior to the modern regime running the races. The TT attracts visitors and fans all year round, and one time the course milestones were also removed. Once the races were over in September, the tourist board decided to leave the milestones and the scoreboard in place so people who didn't know a lot about the TT and MGP could see some of the course furniture, which has proved popular until the demise of the structure by the present setup. Some of the main milestone boards are removed for security reasons because apparently they go missing. Well, let's be honest, they get nicked. Thank you, Phil. Come back to the TT. If you've got any thoughts on that, we'd love to hear what you have to say. Text for email, call and WhatsApp. And also another call from the answer phone.
Hi, Andy. It's Bob Phillips, Capirota. Listen to your programme, and you were talking about single-use plastics. Some takeaways are still using them. Well, we don't use single-use plastics. We use plastics which can be used again and again. They're supplied by Robertson's by a company called Sapco, and they're actually quite expensive. So just wanted to put that straight for the record. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Bob. It is... when was it? Single-use plastic has outlaw status since Thursday, the 19th of October, 2023. How much better do you feel for that? It's Monday, and of course it is our 60th anniversary. 1964 Manx Radio first turned on the transmitter. So we're diving back into the archive. And today, it's all about the camera obscura on Douglas Head. The late David Callister will be talking to Marion Heaton, doyen of the camera obscura, and that's when Man in Line has finished today. You got any thoughts on the matter? Text, email, call, WhatsApp. Lots of messages in today, which I'll hopefully... some make me smile, some I couldn't possibly read out. Manx News was saying that winter flights from the Isle of Man to Tenerife. Who do we contact? Well, the travel agencies will tell you all about that. Greg said, I've just completed a parish walk training session and I came across a two-mile section from Glenmay to Arasey to Russian Mines, which has fresh tarmac. It's just a minor road, but what a beautiful stretch of tarmac, which puts the promenade to shame. I wonder if Michelle Haywood is aware. I do hope the parish walk rehearsals and the training is going well, Greg. All the very best. You see it now, don't you? It's very common to see people lurching around the roads, morning, noon and night, preparing for the big day. How can the government say they can't afford a new scoreboard and then tell us the TT brings in 30 million plus to Manx coffers? Just a thought, says Graham. We never really get the full accounts, do we? And I don't know whether we'd ever make sense of them if we did get the full accounts. But the TT is very important to the Isle of Man. It's very important in the way that it drops a lot of money, and it's quite democratic from homestay right through to the big companies. The TT brings a lot of money. Of course, it's a big upset. It does disrupt life on the Isle of Man. It gives us a worldwide forum, if you like. It gives us a worldwide presence, and it's probably the only thing that does, Manx cats not being as popular as they used to be. So TT is the peg on which we hang our national identity. It's probably the thing that the Isle of Man is best known for, if you set aside the Bee Gees and Mark Cavendish. Richard's on now. Hi, Richard.
Hello. I just want to give you a few technical notes in connection with the item you featured last week about the tremendous high-tech Japanese bikes that were up in the air in the late 1950s.
Yes.
Because if you want to know what the red line 22,500 resolutions per minute sounds like, you've got the BBC Pips. Well, that's two B's above middle C on the piano, but this lot are nearly as high as that. It's just two F sharps above middle C on the piano, so it's a pretty high note, actually.
My word, have you ever heard one in real life?
Well, I seem to remember on some of the tapes in the early days, and this is going back a good few... though some of the more modern ones are getting close to it nowadays, but some of them in early takes did seem to go up pretty high, and that's why I gave you that calculation, because what you do, you divide the revolution per minute speed by 30, because you've got two sets of cylinders, two and two, and it gives you the frequency hertz in per second, you see, so it's as I said, about between F sharp and G, not just the first ones above middle C, but the second set above middle C. So it's a pretty frustrated B, a pretty high note, to say the least.
That's fantastic. That's great, Richard. Thanks for calling today.
Not at all, and thanks for the programme. Most interesting if I can catch it.
I appreciate it. Thanks for that. Now you've done it, says 313. This is G, who said, now you have done it. The MHK is going to be off to Singapore to see what we can learn from Singapore. We'll see a message in from L, who said, it's not just the emissions from competing machines, but the thousands of people travelling to the Isle of Man using various modes of transport, all producing emissions. So it may be that the sport will be not that important in terms of emissions. And also a message in from Dave, who also said, look, it's also motorsport was created to sell vehicles. The motorbike companies entered into the TT so they could sell motorbikes. So surely they won't be selling green machines on the other end. Well, maybe they'll have to. You never know. You have a few people voicing opinion regarding buses for cruise people. Says, Dave, what experience do these people have? We've cruised many times around Europe. The Americans and the majority of the tours from ships, the buses, coaches, didn't have any seat belts. So before people start complaining about things, back in the early days, we had far more cruise ships visiting the Isle of Man and many more visitors. Today we have class 100 berth ship as a we class 100 berth ship as a cruise ship, and our tourist people make a big noise about it. The Manxman and the Mananin bring in an average of 2,000 visitors a day. Thank you, Dave. Thanks for your opinion.
How do you really get to feel healthier? Eat healthier. ShopRite's Healthy Choice ranges make it easy and truly enjoyable. All over our chillers and freezers, food that even sounds better for you. like the Gym Kitchen protein-packed frozen meals, Plant Chef plant-based chilled and frozen food, and free from ranges across the store from pasta to cereal. Better for you doesn't have to mean boring anymore. Try our range of healthier alternatives. Available now at ShopRite.
For over 100 years, Manx National Heritage has been collecting objects for the people of the Isle of Man. From art to archaeology, national history, motorcycles and more, our museums are home to the national treasures of the Isle of Man. Discover their story at the Manx Museum and House of Mananan. Open daily from 9:30 until 4:30.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting carers first.
Crossroads have been providing services to local carers and people with care needs for over 30 years. As the leading provider of support for carers on the island, our services are all about improving the lives of carers and giving them a break from caring. Visit crossroadsiom.org for more information.
Crossroads Isle of Man, putting carers first.
Everyone's more conscious of energy usage nowadays, so Manx Utilities has begun installing smart meters for standard domestic customers island-wide. With our Smart Living app available too, you'll be in control of tracking and managing your energy. No need to contact us, we'll be in touch when we're ready to fit your smart meter. Visit the Smarter Living page at manxutilities.im. Manx Utilities, delivering a smarter future.
An agenda of two halves this week with Paul Crane MLC assessing the latest population figures and MLC and children's champion Kerry Sharp assessing the recently announced Ballycommeen toilet policy and how children's rights have changed over the decades. Government has set its sights on growing the economically active population and the latest figures seem to suggest they are beginning to succeed, and the toilet policy has certainly attracted a lot of interest with vociferous argument for and against. So good to have a philosophical reflection on the topic. That's agenda this evening at 6 p.m. on Manx Radio with me, Phil Gorn. Well worth crossing your legs and holding on for.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
So this coming Thursday, the day before Good Friday, another Man in Line constituency programme. Douglas Central MHKs will be on, Ann Corlett and Chris Thomas. If you want to get in touch with them, you can email maninline@manxradio.com or leave a message on the answer phone, 682631. So Ann Corlett and Chris Thomas this Thursday. The My Memory of the Tim Wald Approved Money for the Prom, says 239, it was for the prom, not the horse trams. The trams were part of the scheme, but they weren't a separate vote or pot of money. So when the cost increased for the prom scheme, it presumably included the increased cost for the trams. Well, I thought Tim Wald had approved the trams. Anyway, we're not getting them. We are home of the halfway horse tram for at least 2024. 179 says, yes, things in the past were once new, so we should destroy them. Maybe we should destroy the ancient stone circles as well. Well, that is your opinion. That's it. Thanks to Chris Quirk on the phones today. Back tomorrow with another open line.
W-I-N-T.
60 years serving you as the nation station. This is Manx Radio.
It's not unique, but certainly the camera obscura on Douglas Head, a Victorian-era survivor, comes close. But it was in a delicate state until it had a major overhaul. Prior to that, it was owned by Marion Heaton and her family. Marion used to sit in the doorway, collecting a modest sum from those who wanted to see inside. One of them was David Collister.
I always tell people to stand for a moment or two and let their eyes get used to the change of light. And then, of course, you see the first table. Well, what you see actually is what is happening at that moment at those points on the head. I mean, people walking about, the ships coming and going, or even the buses on the top road. And on one picture, you can even see Manx Radio quite clearly.
That's right. It's lovely to see the movement of the grass and the trees in the wind.
Exactly.
And the birds flying
that's
on it.
Right.
I mean, you want to touch it and feel it and so on,
yes.
Don't you really?
Well, that brings to mind there was a man in here one day, and I thought he was rather a long time. And when he came out, he came round to the front. And he said, I'm absolutely fascinated. He said, I've been watching a butterfly go from one flower to another. And he said, do you know, he said, I could tempted to pick it up. It was so plain. And he was absolutely thrilled. And then another man said to me, he'd been watching, he thought everything was still, he thought they were just pictures. And he said, and all of a sudden, he says, a seagull swooped down on my hand. And he said, I had such a shock, he said, I thought it was real.
Now, do you know how it actually works? I mean, what are the mechanics?
Well, there are no actual mechanics, but the mirror picks the image up, and that, of course, shows it onto the lens, and the lens enlarges it onto the table. Now, there are quite a few around, but they're of a single table type. There's one at Edinburgh, one at Bristol, one at Dumfries, and there's one or two others about too. But with those, it's one big round table, one mirror and one lens. And when you go in, after it's all made dark, the operator or the person viewing turn a handle and it turns the mirror round, and that brings the picture onto this round table.
Mm. Yeah, you just walk around and see the pictures.
You can walk from one table to the other, or if you want to, you can go back and have a look at something that's gone, and you can watch the boat too, quite a long distance out. Once you pick it up, you can watch that from one table to the next until it gets right down to the pier.
Part of island life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.